So this next passage, if you were here last week, you would know that I preached on a very similar story last week. And there's a reason. I told you we're going to be talking about fishing. Right? So let us stand and read the text. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your opportunity to come to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, we ask that you please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Thank you. Well, you may be seated. If you can remember last week's passage, we dealt with a scenario where Peter was responded in very ridiculous fashion, as Peter often does. If you can remember, last week I said that Peter responded in a manner that didn't seem proportionate to what would happen. He said they went out and was fishing on a boat. If you remember this, I'm just going to review here. He went out fishing on a boat, and as he was out there fishing on a boat, he went out and no fish were caught all night. Very similar to this passage. No fish were caught. So we fished them and we caught none. Not only was there no fish caught, Jesus said, "Go, put your nets on the side." Very similar to this story. But you can remember how he responded whenever so much fish came in. What did he say? He said, "Oh Lord, I am not worthy. Flee from me." That's not a proportionate response. That's pastoral formation 101. Whatever you say, if I say, "Dirk, could you go and get me a bulletin?" You would say, "Sure." But if you slam your fist down on the table and be like, "How dare you ask me to get a bulletin?" Everyone in the room would be like, "Whoa, there's something more that's going on with Dirk right now." As Dirk usually is in the fashion of slamming his fist down on the table, right? That's something that we've experienced. Dirk in his anger and his rage. Right? I'm kidding. That wouldn't be proportionate. That wouldn't be proportionate to what I asked you, right? That's what Peter did. He said, "Oh Lord, my goodness, I am not worthy. I am unholy." And I get the picture often where the disciples were like, "Calm down, Peter. Calm down." Until you pull back the layers of what was happening. What was the layers? That was not the first time that Jesus said, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men," so to speak. That wasn't the first time he was called to follow Jesus. But yet, as in Peter fashion, he's hard-headed. He would walk away from that, and he pulled away, and he didn't listen, right? And he wrapped himself in his identity as being a fisher. And what Jesus did in the text, in last week's passage, is that he changed his identity. He changed Peter's identity. He said, no, you're not only going to be a fisherman, you're going to be one who fishes for men. He said, okay, you identify with being a fisherman so much, I'm going to change that identity of who you are so significantly that I'm not going to change the power of the identity of being a fisherman.
But who you're fishing for will change.
And I talked about how why Peter didn't follow Jesus. Why? It was so easy. And I gave you the analogy of whenever I was fly fishing in Arkansas. And you can remember this. This is whenever I was fly fishing, the river was moving so fast. And I went and I threw my line out. I was fly fishing like this. And then it turned my back. And immediately the broad water brought up to here, pushed me forward. And I remember that part of the story? And I said, you know what? I'm done. And I walked out of the river. And if you walk out like this, now you have to walk out like there's something like that fast. And he decides to left. And do you know how many fish I caught after I left? Zero. I caught zero fish, as logic would tell you. You catch zero fish when you don't throw your line in the water. And how many times do we see that in other places? A soccer player, you miss every goal you don't take, every goal you don't shoot, or you don't catch every pass, you don't complete every pass that you don't throw. You know, all these like sports analogies, but then there's other analogies. You don't meet the person you don't say hello to. You know? It's all these things where you just don't go and do. And see, that's what Peter was doing. That's why he said, oh God, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I am a sinner, not worthy of you. That's what he said. By doing that. He knew that he was pulling himself away from effectiveness in the way that Jesus was calling him to be effective. Just like me saying, nope, I'm done. And I walked away. Why? Because when you're standing in the middle of the river, it's dangerous. And it probably was smart for me to not actually stay in the river. But in Peter's analogy, in the way that situation was, it's just as dangerous. As a matter of fact, it's probably more dangerous for him to stick his neck out and do something that is hard and be something that is not comfortable. Right? So that was last week's sermon. And I hear what you're saying. You're probably thinking in your mind, boy, if only he would preach a sermon that quick, each and every week, we would have ourselves a nice quick church that we could get going, right? Is anyone thinking that? Jody? No? Good. All right. So we can move on to this week. Here we have a situation where this wasn't at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This was at the end of Jesus' pre-ascension ministry, we'll call it. Because he continually ministers. He is continually here. He is continually present. This is a different story. This is almost a mirror image. Now, it doesn't take place in Luke. It takes place in John. But it's actually a very similar story. Am I right? I'm not saying anything crazy. It's a similar story. But it happens in a different place in Peter's life. So let's go back to the text. I want to go back to one slide earlier. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Now, if we knew what has happened in Luke, what it should be, is who should he be going? He shouldn't go and grab his net and his boat, right? That shouldn't be what he goes and does. If we knew the way that he should perceive what fishing is now, as the way Christ told him, he should not perceive fishing as requiring fishing of men. Does that make sense? Not am I saying anything crazy? No. I answered my own question. But I think when it was Peter who was going out, and he stepped forward and said, you know what, I'm going to go fishing. Okay. I realized logistically, maybe they needed some food. And so we had that whole argument. Maybe they needed to get some food. I get that. But then we fast forward to verse 7, I think. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore said of you. The disciple whom Jesus loved, it turned out to be John. It is the Lord. John, one of the sons of Zebedee, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, which I'm not sure why they put on an outer garment to go jump in the water, but it happened. This is always the side of it. The world would not have changed if that little piece of information this is what when I read the scripture sometimes, I'm like, why is that in there? Why did it say he had to put on his armor? It's stuff like that that just bugs me to no end. I don't know why it said, not bugs me like I wish it wasn't there, but I'm like, why, whenever they were writing the story, did they say, you know what, I remember that Peter put his garment on, so I'm going to put that in there. Why? Why? You don't have to do that. I mean, I'm not a storyteller, or at least I don't write stories. But when I see that, I'm like, that's an interesting concept. I'm sure there's reasons I haven't found it out. Boy, stuff like that bugs me. So he says, for he was stripped for work and threw himself into the sea. Is that a proportionate response? We got ourselves in that situation. Very much like Peter, to go back to fishing. And then Jesus says something, they catch a ton of fish, and then boom, Peter always loses his mind doing something crazy. That's the pattern that we're seeing here with Peter. But I think, much like Durr and his outbursts, we have something behind this scenario. We have something behind where we have a scenario where Peter is confronted with something. Now, if you know the rest of the text, as I'm sure Carolyn already read, we can see that there's a scenario where, what did Jesus do? He called Peter up and he started talking. They were eating fish together, broiled fish, which, by the way, is a promise of the resurrection of the body, that we're going to eat some food together. If Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, ate fish, what's your favorite food? Guess what? You're going to be eating it in heaven. That's the problem. That's the theological connection. If the resurrected Jesus ate some fish, we're going to be eating food in heaven. Beautiful stuff. Come here. That's how it goes. He ate fish, and then not only did he eat fish, he sat there, and he said, do you love me, Peter? Remember this? I know this is always a very common story. He says, do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah, of course I love you. He says, feed my sheep. Do you love me? And feed my sheep. Do you love me? Serve my sheep. Open. 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 Three times. We have this story right after this, where we have this scenario where Peter in Mark was first asked to follow Jesus. He got up, followed Jesus. And after maybe a couple days or a couple weeks, he stopped following Jesus and he was out there in the Sea of Galilee and he was fishing. And he saw Jesus again. And Jesus says, let me ordain you again. Let me commission you one more time, Peter. Go and be a fisherman of men. Go be a fisherman of men. Let me commission you one more time. And Peter's like, okay. And he followed him pretty well. And then what happened? What happened? Right at the end, right whenever he was getting, Jesus was getting, right before he was getting beat, and right before Good Friday, on a Thursday that we call it, what did he do? Peter denied Jesus three times. He denied that commissioning. He denied that following. I'm not following you anymore, Jesus. He didn't say that outright. He didn't. I'm not saying that. But he said, I'm not going to follow you anymore. No, not anymore. And we have a scenario where Jesus appeared to them again. And Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to ordain you one more time. I'm going to commission you one more time. And the response here, the response of him just diving out into the water towards Jesus, is him repenting, him wishing this wouldn't happen, him wishing that he didn't deny him, wishing all of these things that he didn't do. He threw himself out of the water and saying, I have denied everything. I have denied what you've called me to do. I've denied what you've called me to be. And you see, this is where we find ourselves so often. I feel bad for Peter. I've been in church long enough to hear so many sermons where it's just so easy to beat up Peter. Look how stupid Peter is, everybody. Joke, and everyone laughs at Peter. And he's probably up in heaven, he's like, ugh. Boring. now I'm going to make a case for Peter. Here's the case. Peter has made the mistakes that Peter's made that we all laugh at. We've made them. So we're laughing at ourselves. How many times has Christ called you? You're free, but yet you don't believe that you're free. You have love. You have kindness. You can go and love one another without worry or fear or anxiety, but we don't do it. We don't open ourselves up to one another, or we don't allow someone to open themselves up to us. We live in fear and anxiety. How often does that happen? How often does Jesus say to you, go and make disciples of all nations? And you know, we've been commissioned. I said this back in, probably September. And I'm going to say it again. This concept, I'm not getting enough out of worship. I'm going to tell you, you got all that you need out of worship. Now it's time to give. And I think this, him jumping out of the boat and into the river or into the sea, is him realizing it isn't about him getting. It is about him giving. It is about him dying to Christ. Living out of fear and anxiety. Living that you're going to be swept away in the river and pulling yourself out of effectiveness means that you're not going to be what God has called you to be. We live in fear. We live in anxiety. We're doing exactly what Peter did on the night in which he betrayed Jesus. And I don't mean just Judas. I mean Peter. Peter denied him 3 times. So, when we have this scenario, when we have this reality, and we can see Christ comes there. You know what he did when Peter came to the shore? He embraced him. He ate food with him. I can't tell you enough, in Jewish culture, that is a welcome. The God in which we consistently fall short of, consistently is present and loving in our lives. The God who constantly says, you need to die to yourself, make disciples, live not out of fear, live not out of anxiety, but live out of love for me and for one another. The God who died is calling you to do that. And every time you break that, he is still present. It's still there. It's still loving you. It's still kind. He says, much like Jesus, embracing and eating with Peter. It's okay. You screwed up. You keep screwing up. And guess what? You're going to screw up again. But right now, you have the opportunity. Get back up on your hands and feet and go and be a fisher of men. Identify. Create your identity around what I've called you to be, not around what you feel comfortable with. Not in the fear, the anxiety that you have, but identify with me. And I will take you places you've never been. I will take you places that you never thought you could go. I'll tell you this right now. There's only one person in this room who knew me before I knew Jesus Christ, and so you have to trust her testimony. Am I the same person you knew as I was 18? No. Jesus has taken me crazy places. And I'm not sitting here saying that I'm not like Peter. I'm very much like Peter. Just like Peter. But I can tell you, I've let him carry me. I let him move me along into places of anxiety and fear. I'll tell you one quick story. We're in Homewood. Anyone know anything about Homewood in Pittsburgh? You do. Great place, right? No, it's not. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible place.
I've been there and I know the people. So.
Okay.
People
here. Yeah, well, of course. It's highest crime per capita in, certainly in Pittsburgh, but I think it's in Pennsylvania. It's a very low and very run-down part of Pittsburgh. And I was helping a church plant knock on doors to take a survey of people. It's all African American. And the first door I knocked on, Woman comes to the door. She goes, what makes you think? She didn't say anything else. She didn't say a word. This is what she says. She started off, what makes you think that a white boy could come to this neighborhood and knock on my door? That is scary. I was afraid. It wasn't my church. I was just helping a friend out. I knew I was doing something pretty bold, but I said, well, ma'am, Jesus Christ. And she said, come on in. It could have went on a lot different. I could have given her some sort of crazy answer. We talked for about 10, 15 minutes and moved on to a couple more houses down. And there was about 4 or 5 young men, young adult, black men. And there was guns on the table. And they were in the kitchen, and there was a hallway and then a door. And after I knocked, I seen what I saw. And I didn't know what to do. And he said, what do you want? So I'm here to talk to you, the fellow survey. Like, I'm really all nervous. It's all what I was there to do. And he said, you gotta leave now. I said, okay. And I walked off the steps and started going to the next house. A couple houses later, the next person was like, he went up there. He talked to them. I said, yeah, tell me about this church. She knew that I was, shouldn't be here. She knew that there was a lot going on in that house. And she saw that I walked out into the river, threw my line out in the river, and I wasn't afraid. And she responded to that. I think that's what it means to be a fisher of men. And so I gotta ask you, what's your fishing stories, folks? Where are you taking yourself into places that are uncomfortable? Where are you going? Because it's horrible. I did not want to go to home that day. So, but God bless you. You may not always bless me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Let us go to the places, to the holes, to the rivers that are fast in you, knowing that you have us in your righteous way. This is your Son's name. Amen. Let us respond to the message with our gifts, tithes, and offerings.